Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I would snap those fingers.
Denver, Kansas City, Oakland could all be playoff teams.
Yeah, they're going to woodshed the team that I like.
In the AFC South, you get the Colts twice, maybe once without Luck, depending on what happens with him. You get the you wouldn't get them twice, I guess I should say.
You're I'd love to get them twice. Due to
but
a quirk.
You would get them, and then you get the Jaguars. So that's twice you'd play a team you'd be a favorite over for sure. Such a bad division. Even with the Texans where they are, which is probably knocking on the door of another 9-7, 10-6 season, and an improved Titans team, I still would take my chances and toss up games rather than playing primetime games against teams like Oakland.
Yeah,
who last year may have been the best team in the AFC other than New England.
And I would love to have seen what happened if Derek Carr doesn't get hurt in that game, by the way. They were competitive, even with just, I don't even remember who it was, and I don't want to remember.
Matt McGloin is who you're looking for.
It was old McGloiny. That would be an advantage. I'd rather play every division, in fact, except for the AFC West, if you gave me a ranking. I'd rather play every other division as my, like, out-of-pocket group.
Because a lot of people in the Chargers have had plenty of injuries. They're saying that the Chargers are the team everyone's quote-unquote sleeping on, that they're actually really good.
They're due for a bounce back. They lost in a bunch of fluky ways last year, and their sort of expected one loss didn't match up with what they did.
Right. But if you look at that, that's an away game, cross-country for the Redskins. If you go back to 2015 when Washington had its surprising breakthrough 9-7 division title year under Kirk Cousins and they made the playoffs, they had a beautiful travel schedule. They only traveled west past like the Mid-Atlantic twice to play Dallas and Chicago. They never went further than Dallas.
Is that right?
Yeah, go back and look at that schedule that year.
That's crazy.
They never had to go to the West Coast for any reason or even close to it.
Last year, the opposite of that. Their travel schedule was horrendous.
But their travel schedule in terms of miles and trips was not nearly as bad as this year's. Last year's schedule, the problem was actual days and scheduling.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they were going out west. I don't remember them having to go to, well, clearly now there's two teams in L.A., so they never would have had to do that. But they have to go to L.A. to play the Rams and to L.A. to play the Chargers. Now, luckily, San Francisco is here, but they're making nearly three cross-country trips this year. They're making two trips further than their longest trip in their 2015 division championship year. And I think those types of things, Mike Shanahan was a big proponent of this, those little nuanced schedule quirks when your bye week comes, theirs is in the first at the end of the first quarter of the year. They played 12 uninterrupted games without a bye week.
Which I hate.
The fact that after a Thursday game, which could be your bye week, you have another Thursday game. Look at their schedule. On that Thanksgiving Thursday, they have two back-to-back Thursday games. So coaches love when you play on Thursday because even though it's a short week, you get the really long week after that. Not this time.
Not this time.
Because you actually just play another game 1 week later as if it's Sunday into a Sunday after a short week.
So that's the new, and they've had great success against the Giants on Thursdays. Everybody knows that. Sorry, I just had a moment in my own mouth. The Saints, November 19th, then here's your Thursday tilt against the Giants. Then the next week is Thanksgiving,
of course.
Is that
the 23rd?
Against the Cowboys, yeah.
So they play the Saints on Sunday in New Orleans.
Yep.
Come back and play the Giants at home on Thursday.
Yep.
And then 7 days later, play the Cowboys.
On Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving.
In Dallas.
So that is a span of 10 or 11 days where they play three games.
Yeah, that's a weird Denard right there. And then the next thing that happens is they come back and they go away for Thanksgiving, probably a couple days off. Then that's when they fly out west to the Chargers to play in Los Angeles.
There's a lot of optimism about this team. And I think that they have talent, but they have a treacherous schedule. They just had a disappointing preseason. And they lost a couple of vital pieces from the strength of the team, which was their passing game. Last year, there is no denying that their passing game kept them afloat. They were a bad defense. They were a subpar running game. They were an okay offensive line. And they had a quarterback who lit it up with receivers that put up big numbers. Those receivers are mostly gone. Certainly at the wide receiver position. The strength of this team that kept them over 500 was the passing game. And if you care about the preseason, that was the biggest disappointment of the preseason, probably. But more important than that is, to me, the schedule. Week one against the Eagles is a toss-up game against a team in your division that is the fourth-best team, supposedly, in the East. They're going to be better than they were last year. And halfway through last season, they were the talk of the league, if you remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember when they blew out the Pittsburgh Steelers?
One of the most impressive wins of the season.
On a good day, Philadelphia can wax anybody. Carson Wentz, mechanically sound and making throws, that's all of a sudden a 10-win type team. The Rams in week two, you say, oh, that's a cakewalk. You better dominate the Rams. And you're probably right. The Rams in the first year with a 30-year-old head coach. But that head coach knows more about you than any coach you're going to have to play this year. So your gimme game in week two that's got to be a win to get to at least 1-1 or maybe 2-0 is against the guy that knows everything about you and is best friends with your head coach and learned a lot of football from your head coach. That's not ideal. Week three against the Oakland Raiders. That's a primetime game. Primetime games go really well at FedEx Field, don't
they? Sunday night, 8:30 p.m.
Oh, by the way, you're playing against, I'd say, one of the four best teams in the NFL on paper coming into the year.
At worst, what, sixth or seventh? They're good. And then you go to Kansas City for a Monday night football game.
Arrowhead Stadium is one of the toughest to play in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Another primetime game that's Monday night. By the way, they're Sunday night and a Monday night. Back-to-back primetime games against
the AFC
West.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
That's so strange. Then week five, you say, oh, it's okay. You get San Francisco. Again, this is a guy that knows everything about you. This is a guy that knows the strengths and weaknesses of your quarterback, of your passing game, of some of your weapons. Now, he is further removed and knows less than Sean McVay does. But it's not like you're playing a first-year head coach like Doug Peterson last year with the Eagles, who just is another, this is another team, it's the Washington Redskins. No. All Kyle Shanahan had cared about when his schedule came out is what day does he coach against the Redskins.
When he gave an interview, by the way, with, God, who was it? Was it Kent Babb? Maybe Mark Mask. I can't remember who it was.
2 weeks ago.
They weren't asking about Atlanta stuff. They're asking about Redskins stuff.
Yeah.
That bleep is circled on his calendar. Believe that.
He was an open book for the first time, by the way. Then you got the Eagles again, this time on the road in the division. Then you get the Cowboys, post-Ezekiel Elliott suspension, potentially. Then you're at Seattle against the Seahawks.
No problem.
I mean, this is such a brutal schedule.
Uh-huh.
Then you're home against the Vikings. For whatever reason, I actually feel pretty good about that. Even though the Vikings are being penciled in as a playoff team by a lot of clubs, you beat Minnesota at home around that time last year. But we are now over halfway through the schedule. I mean, that is the ninth game of your season before you go non-division toss-up, outside of the division game where you're not playing against a coach that was in Washington a couple years ago. Then you're at the Saints. I don't think they're going to be great. That's never a fun place to play or an easy offense to slow down.
Yeah, good luck with that. You know, that spread group and Drew Brees dot in the eye.
Which brings us to Thanksgiving night against the Giants. Nothing could go wrong on Thanksgiving night on national TV. Then you're at the Cowboys the following week. That is a Thursday 8:25 kickoff. And then you've got the stretch run of your season with four games. And I guess we haven't gotten to the soft spot of the schedule. Maybe this will be it. Chargers, Cardinals, Broncos, Giants.
What's soft about that?
Where is the soft 3-4 week span? I guess you'd say week one through four, but that's not correct because the Raiders and Chiefs are both good. Maybe weeks one and two are the softest.
It's quote 2 and 5. Weeks 2 and week 6, I guess, technically, because that's your fifth game. They don't have a soft spot, is my point.
They got to start 3-2.
Arizona is soft if Carson Palmer's hurt and you're dealing with name that skeleton or somebody else taking snaps. Otherwise, they're pretty good. They underachieved a bit last year. They've given you fits each last couple times you played them.
Guiler Columbus, they got to start 3-2 if they're going to have a shot at the playoffs.
I think at least that.
Well, I think it's hard to do better than that. That means you beat the Eagles. You beat the Rams, you beat the 49ers. Three games that essentially you win all three of the games you should. And then I'm giving them losses to the Raiders and the Chiefs, which they're not going to be favorites in those games.
You wouldn't think. My point is, if you want to make the playoffs, you've got to have a birdie. I'm not even talking about one where you're on the green, you tap, tap, tap it in, Happy Gilmore style. Your second shot went in on a whatever, like you're from a bunker or some kind of nonsense. My analogy lost its way there. Point is, you got to win a game you shouldn't win.
Early. I lost you at birdie.
It's golf, which is not a sport, as you know.
Oh, golf, okay.
It's just something that people do recreationally. They pick it up when they retire.
Stick aside those 3 and 2 through 5, I think, put you in the spot. I know what you're saying about getting a game you shouldn't somewhere along that line, but it's so early in the year, and then you can make hay in your division.
You got to harvest.
Pretty good, because you got the Eagles, the Cowboys coming up. So I think you go 4-2 in the division and you get off to a quick start, you're probably a 9-ish win team.
You can be a better shape.
But I keep hearing people say they're going to go 10-6, 11-5.
Yeah, win more than 10 games for the first time in 27 years.
I just like to acknowledge that the schedule is brutally difficult.
And here's a number of things that I've got. We don't have much time to get it in. 800-636-1067, your gut feel right now after the preseason, heading into the regular campaign.
How many wins do you see post 4 preseason games?
They cannot run the ball. And some people don't care about that. And in general, I just care about effective plays, and whatever's most effective, do that. So the arguments I get in with Chris Russell, he just wants to stay committed to the run no matter what, even if you're getting 0 yards. I don't. You have to do what's effective. But if you cannot run the ball, which they cannot and won't be able to at all, you're left with what you saw last year, which is when it works, there's no problem. You move up and down the field, you can throw it, and you know Kirk Cousins will have his yards, and you'll get your touchdowns, and you can win 28-26 as they kind of did, get behind against the Giants and whatever else, right? But you're also limited. When that passing game ain't great, like the Panthers' second Giants game, Arizona, they struggled at certain points, you have no other options. There's no counterpunch. If they take away the thing that you do, you have no answers. That means you're doomed. That means you're not an 11-win team. You're not a 10-win team. You're probably not even a 9-win team. Defensively, they're not good enough at safety. They're not good enough on the defensive line. They have not made enough improvements. They overachieved last year as a defense. Think about that. The worst in football, and they overachieved because they had that stretch, remember, where they had give up one touchdown in 10 quarters and forced some turnovers. That ain't happening again. I think they're going to be dreadful, and I've called it.
Yeah, I'm way more bullish than you are. I think you are really as low as you can be, kind of negative almost on the team. And I can kind of make some of my cases next that I disagree with you on.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at the schedule and I think you're going to L.A. twice. You're going to Seattle, which is basically another West Coast trip. That's a 5-hour flight. And you're going to Kansas City. You ever been to Kansas City? That's not an easy trip.
It's not hard. It's hard.
This is the most brutal in terms of miles, travel schedule they've had since I can remember. After the preseason, now in the rearview mirror after last night, what is your gut feel on this team? 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
No matter what the Skins do, win, lose, draw, whatever, you can win. Get yourself a great deal on a car, truck, SUV at my guys, Tedbert Ford. They've been in Fairfax. They're in Chantilly now, too, two locations. That Chantilly dealership is gorgeous. It's new. It's newfangled. It's awesome. Great waiting room. Terrific coffee. I had some. I've been there. The Fairfax location, it's the old standby. You know why? It's been there for almost 60 years because they do great business at Tedbert Ford. They take care of you. Let them. Let them take care of you. Bask in the glory of Lake Minnetonka. Just dip your big toe in, and you'll have a luxurious, wonderful time. Again, a weird bath analogy that I made. I wish I hadn't made it. Point is, they're a great car dealership. I got two different cars from Tedbert Ford. 2016 Ford Edge. Loved it so much, I went back and got the Ford Fusion. It's parked downstairs right now, charging up. I filled up the gas tank one time. I got it in May. It's now September. I filled the gas tank once. Think about that, how that could change your daily commute. Right? Go see him. You get a great deal on it. Plus, you get Tedbert for life. That's oh so wonderful. Lifetime vehicle coverage, people. New, pre-owned vehicles. Doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get it. Big stuff, powertrain, right? Little stuff. Like the complimentary service loaner program. It is top-notch, Spalding. Top-notch. Go see my guys at Tedbert Ford, and when you do, please tell them Danny sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.